This is not a sermon to give permission for laziness. This is not probably a sermon that you've heard before, and if you have, commended. I heard this sermon only once in my life, a variant of it, and it absolutely captured me. I had never asked questions like those questions. I've heard this: a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. I've heard that. Okay? So remember that. Okay? That's the disclaimer. Don't forget that. This is not an endorsement for laziness or the sin of sloth. This sermon, though, is a call, hopefully a biblical call, for the understanding and the appreciation and the practice of biblical sleep. And so I want you to join me this morning in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 to 26, where we're going to be camping. And, not camping for long. We're going to be all over the scriptures this morning. But this is going to be our primary text this morning as we move through. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 to 26. In the blue Bibles, if you need a blue Bible, just wave your hand in the back. Jerry can get you one. Page 529. Okay, let me begin verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deep was broken open. The clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul, an adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way surely, and your foot will not stumble. Listen close. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Now, early on, as we journeyed together through the Proverbs in the month of August, I believe August 3rd, this verse caught my eye. Your sleep will be sweet. Because it's not long ago that in Time magazine, I think it was, that's a while ago, 2002, there was an article written on how millions of Americans cannot sleep. They can't sleep. And the challenges of not sleeping well and then trying to live the next day and on, and the cycle that it can be. Anyone identify with the challenge of sleep deprivation? It's hard. It's not easy. So this morning, I want to spend some time considering what it looks like to sleep biblically. And how we answer these questions will hopefully give us specific things to do tonight when we go to bed. And every night this week and on out through the rest of our lives. I pray that that will be the effect. Certainly was an effect for me this past week to be reminded of these things and then to practice them and to appreciate the practice of them more and more. So number one on your outline, this will be important this morning, an outline in the bulletin. Number one, God made us need sleep to glorify God, to glorify himself. Now, it says, by wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. Proverbs 3:19. By understanding, he established the heavens. That includes everything. By wisdom, God ordained that we would, after a short time, need to sleep. There's a physical requirement upon us that sleep provides an answer to. God made us need sleep to glorify himself. Okay, and let me show you a few verses that I take this from. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished the work. On the seventh day, God finished the work he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So the biblical expression from the very beginning, Genesis chapter 2, is that God himself establishes a rhythm. It's a pattern. Work hard, 6 days, and rest on the seventh. Now, we can take from that, there is a natural thing for us to emulate and copy. Did God have to rest? Answer, no. God never needs to rest. He can exert an infinite amount of power and have an infinite more ready to go, nothing lacking in God. And yet he chose to set the Sabbath day apart, a day of rest. There's something he's telling us, isn't it? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, and then he broadens it, or whatever you do, that would include sleep, do all to the glory of God. God created us to need sleep to make much of himself, to glorify himself. So we can understand, therefore, that when we sleep, we are to glorify God. Well, how in the world do you do that? How do you do that? It certainly is clear. Paul says it doesn't matter what you're doing, you are to glorify God. We exist to make much of God. The Westminster Catechism, remember? What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So, as part of my life, if one third of my days on this earth I am sawing logs, I better make sure that those 11 years I've spent sleeping are glorifying God. Think about that. One third of your existence maybe hasn't been employed for the glory of God to the degree that it was created to. Certainly was true of me. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, if you sleep, if you're going to sleep, if you're going to sleep a third of your life, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through him. Give thanks to God in the name of Jesus for sleep. For sleep. Fascinating concept. Everything we do is informed and shaped by our understanding of God. Everything. Including how we end each day. How I approach my bed after working hard all day has everything to do with glorifying God. And if I don't engage that process, I miss an opportunity. And I do not ascribe to God the glory that he is due in preparation and the act of sleeping. Sleep, therefore, can, on your outline, be an act of worship. Sleep can be an act, literally an act of worship to the Lord, ascribing glory to him. When I lie down and fall asleep, I can be making much of him by the way I do that. So I would suggest, yes, absolutely, Christians should sleep differently than non-Christians. There should be a very different approach, a very different application of our sleep. Interesting concept. Number two, sleep is a daily reminder of my total dependence upon God. This is massive. Why did God create sleep? Why do we need it? Why is it that after a short number of hours, I can't wait to crawl into bed? My eyes get heavy and I get tired and everything is worn out. One day goes by, and I'm ready to jump in the sack. Why is that? A daily, daily reminder. I am not God. I am the creature. He is the creator. I am in total dependence upon God. And if nothing else in my life points this out to me, the fact that I wear out so quickly after a mere number of hours should communicate loudly to me, I am in need. There's something desperate that I have that I cannot meet unless I sleep. Now, in a culture like America, where many times the label is you are what you produce. If you don't produce, then your value isn't that big on the scale of the American worker. You are what you produce. Well, what about sleep? There's not a lot of value placed on sleep in our context, in our culture. Sleep is annoying. It gets in the way. College students, You're studying for a test. What's the habit? What's the pattern? Right? I've heard, get the Red Bull out. Do whatever you get the coffee and chug it because you have got to get that paper written the night before. Certainly don't sleep before the exam. You have to study. Really? A daily reminder of my total dependence upon God. Look at some of these scriptures. Right before we get to the context in later on in chapter 3, the chapter begins this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In your sleep, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Wow. Trust in the Lord when you sleep. Trust in the Lord. You are dependent, 100% dependent upon him. There is no more vulnerable part of your day than when you are sleeping. You're completely vulnerable. Jenny and I were last night saying this thing, just kind of, we heard it, you know, as kids. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. What a scary prayer for a little kid. Hey, if you die, you know. Okay, but seriously, that's good. Acknowledge that. Look, I told Ethan, as I'm putting him to bed last night, remember this, buddy? There's a heart that's beating in you. And the only reason that heart will beat all night long is because God sustains the beat of your heart. Every bum, 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 bum. You are unconscious in sleep, and he beats your heart. Bum, 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 bum. If he wills, you will wake up. Do we do that? Do we acknowledge my total dependence is upon God? What an opportunity daily. As I lay down and rehearse over how things went this day. Now I'm about to go to sleep, Lord. I am yours. Hold me. Sustain my life. Do as you will. If I die before I wake, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Let's go. Therefore, do not be anxious about anything. What shall we eat? Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Listen, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. One of the major reasons people cannot sleep, myself included at times, is because I am thinking about all of the things that I have to do tomorrow. And I tell you, one of the worst things is if I can't fall asleep right away. Then I get angry. I get upset. It's 2 a.m. I got so much stuff to do, Lord. Help me. You ever been there? Anyone? Okay. Sleep is therefore a humbling gift from God. There is such a thing as arrogance that refuses to sleep. There is such a thing as a humble, Lord, I have poured myself out today. There's nothing more I can do. I lay down. And I entrust all of this to you. I have worked hard. I have been faithful. I have depended upon you. And now more than ever, I cease work and sleep. And I give to you all the things that I carried all day long. And tomorrow I will pick them up again and be faithful and work hard and apply myself. And then I will return humbly to this bed to receive from you the gift of this daily reminder. I am in total dependence upon you. A humbling gift from God. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It's vain that you rise up early and go to late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. I love that verse. I love that verse. Now, I think I might have used that verse a few times in college to sin and sleep a little too much. Okay, kids, don't think that you can take that verse and sleep all day long and play video games all night. Doesn't work. It's sinful. It's vain. But listen to what it's saying. If you cannot shut off work and sleep, it's vain. Why? Humble, restful, dependent sleep. If your business is that to that degree that you can't shut it down and sleep soundly and peacefully, you might not be with your business where you need to be with your business in God. Who do you think holds your business when you sleep? The same one who beats your heart all night long. It's vain to rise up early and go late to rest. He gives to his beloved sleep. Number three, sleep is an expression of confidence in God. Sleep is not only intended by God, a gift from him to glorify God, and it's not only a daily reminder of my total dependence upon God, it's an expression of confidence in God. It's a statement that I make in my life. I will trust you. I will trust you. I will sleep sweet in peace because you watch over me. Proverbs 23. Look, this is, I think, a lot of what the king was referring to. Look at verse 23, Proverbs chapter 3. Do this. Hold on to wisdom, discretion. Then and the root of all these are the fear of the Lord, right? Remember that. The fear of the Lord, beginning of all wisdom. So wisdom, discretion. Then you will walk on your way securely. Your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your what? Your confidence. And will not, and will keep your foot from being caught. So, my confidence as I lay down is, Lord, you are in control. You run the show. This is your world. I am your servant. I receive from you humbly this gift of sleep, and lights out, right? Now, some people can go lights out quicker than others. I'm pretty good at getting, you know, give me 2 minutes. Jen will be talking, and I'm just out, just boom, gone. She's forgiven me many times for that. I lift my eyes up. This is one of my favorite psalms. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? Help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. I need to slumber. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't need to. I need to. He made me to display in my need for sleep my total dependence upon him. And when I do and receive that gift of sleep well, I express my confidence in him. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. He is your shade on your right hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. You can't understand this peace. Christian sleep doesn't understand the peace that it has. But what does it do? It guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Therefore, sleep can be incomprehensibly peaceful. You can have a peace that the world would marvel at in your sleep. Why? Confident. He watches over. There is nothing that has ever happened, nor will happen, that escapes his gaze, nor his plan for my life. I am at peace. And so I sleep soundly and sweet tonight. Look at this. This is David on the run. Psalm 3. Absalom, his son, has taken over. There's a mighty rebellion. David is on the run. Look at what he does. This is an expression of this. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for God, for him in God. But you, O Lord, you are a shield, about me. You're my glory, the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord. He answered me from his holy hill. Listen, I lay down and slept. In the middle of all this, people are trying to kill him, and he sleeps peacefully. I awoke again, for the Lord sustained me. Will not be afraid of thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Sleep is a statement of confidence in God. Number four, sleep is a daily opportunity to evaluate my heart before God. Consider this. I've said it many times. I've thought it many times. You know, when all the noise goes away and all the accolades of the people die down, the guy with the big house that looks pretty cool, or with that fancy car, he parks it in his garage and the lights turn out. And it's a pile of steel. It gets cold at night. And he will lay on his pillow alone with himself and a cold and empty car. If you look for life in stuff, it will find a reality in your soul as you lay in bed at night and begin to evaluate. Is this real? Am I satisfied? Right? Materialism breaks down at night when you lay in bed. This is an example of it. Sleep is a gift. One of the reasons it's a gift is because I have a daily opportunity to say, Lord, how's my heart? What about be angry and do not sin? Ponder your own hearts on your beds and be silent. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Ponder your hearts on your beds. The psalmist knew this. David knew. At the end of the day, sleep has everything to do with my belief and my understanding of God, my interaction with God, my display of my love and my heart towards others. Ponder in your hearts on your beds and look for his peace. So begin to check motives. Review the day. We do this just automatically, it seems, and if we don't, then let's be intentional to do this. Lay in there, Lord, is there anything in me that doesn't sit right with you? Is there a motive that I expressed in my life today that's not right? Was there a response to somebody that was offensive? I think back through at the end of each day. How did this day go? Did I honor you? Did I make much of you? Did I please you this day, O Lord? Point out to me in my heart places, areas, things I've said, things I think that are not right, that don't sit well. And give me the wisdom and the patience and the courage to make them right before I sleep. Maybe above all, what was the treasure of my day? What was my day lived for? This day, this day that I live today, where did I pour my energy? What was my treasure? What did I give myself wholly to today? And if it's anything but Jesus Christ, then we confess. And we assess and we adjust. And Lord, give me strength, give me focus, sharpen me so that tomorrow I will live more intentionally for you than I did today. My treasure, be still and know that I am God. I mean, in your car, usually there's a radio or something going on, right? At work, there's noise. At home, there's noise. Be still. On your beds, ponder your hearts and know that he is God. Just live in that reality. He is God. I am not. Listen to your heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. I lay down in this bed. The bed itself is an illustration of what God does. When I put my weight on the bed, I trust that it will hold me. There is something as I sleep that sustains my life, that beats my heart all night long. If you need that reminder, then just look at the frame of your bed. Okay, is it going to hold me? I hope so. It did last night. It's held me for like 11 years. Okay, here we go. Lord, just like this, you sustain me. And I lay down, and you're my confidence. You hold my life. Sleep can therefore be sanctifying. It can shape us. The way we think about and practice sleep can be a purifying experience, can't it? As you lay down each night, as you lay down every night, daily we get this opportunity. Just think of these things. Think of these things. Turn off all the noise and listen. Shut it down. Focus. Ponder your hearts. Review your day. Question your own motives. Question your conversations. Review those things. So our response, just a few things here. Questions, mainly. Am I consciously declaring my total dependence upon God every day? Is it a rhythm, a practice that I do? In my life, do I daily say, Lord, I depend upon you completely? People who suggest that religion is just a crutch are wrong. It's way more than that. It's the ambulance, it's the hospital, it's the gurney, it's everything. Jesus holds you. You don't even have a leg on the ground. He's way more than that. Lord, I depend upon you every step, every thought, every minute, every beat of this heart is yours. It's yours. Is my sleep an act of worship? Do I think intentionally of how I can, as I lay down each night, make much of God and glorify him, point him out to myself, to my wife, to my kids as we put him to bed? Worship, worship. More than just bedtime prayers. Is my sleep an act of worship? What keeps me from God's gift of sleep? I mean, in an ideal situation, every Christian would just sleep soundly every night. This isn't the case. Anxiety, it's real, and it's sinful. It's sinful. Do not be anxious. Don't be worried about tomorrow. It's a command. So, if I cannot sleep because I'm stressed about tomorrow, because I'm worried, I'm fearful about all the stuff, then confess and sleep in peace. Shut it down. Turn it to him. Acknowledge his lordship over all. Is it work? Do I think too highly of my role in the office? If I think that I get hit by a bus and everything comes to a halt, maybe I should redefine who runs my business. Who holds my job? God does. God does. I am there to make much of him. I will put my time in, work hard 6 days, and then I rest each night. Rest. Work hard and then sleep in peace. And shut it off. Turn it down. Stress. This is the sanctified Christian word for sin. The sin of anxiety. I'm just stressed out. Okay, well, is it sinful or not? Really? I mean, at the end of the day, stress is in the same category. It just sounds a little better in America. Oh, everybody's stressed out. We're just worrying about everything. Well, are we in sin or not? Because if we are, we should repent and not be stressed. But claim the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And let it guard our minds and our hearts. Conflict, this can be a gift. If you can't sleep because you're not right with someone, maybe God's trying to tell you something. Before you sleep, go make it right. Go make it right. This is the subtle one. The root of all sin is pride. If at the end of the day, I'm evaluating my heart and there's things that are on my mind I just can't shut off, maybe there's pride. Maybe there's pride that needs to be confessed and repented of. Who knows? Then, therefore, maybe peace would come and sleep would come. How do I respond when I cannot sleep? This is convicting for me. My patience fuse gets short around 2 a.m. So please don't call me and wake me up. I need my sleep. What happens when I don't get it? Do I sin? How do I respond? Am I intentionally evaluating my heart at the end of each day? I would suggest in closing that we, those who have been marked and defined by the grace of God given us in Jesus Christ, that we think and carefully work so hard to make this the first thought of the day and the last thought of the day. Jesus, thank you. It's real simple. First thing you think when you wake up in the morning, oh, Lord, thank you. I'm alive. You kept me. You sustained me. I'm rejuvenated. I have energy now. I'm ready to go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And the last thought, right before my eyes drift off into sweet sleep. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Here is another day. More than I deserve. A day of living under your grace. Once again, thank you. Let's pray. Father, sleep is a serious thing. Lack of it can really, really mess us up. And the enemy, I imagine, hates Christ-honoring, God-glorifying, biblically understood sleep. And so I pray, Lord, in the authority of heaven and the work of Christ against that today, that we would be people who, defined by the cross, would sleep sweet. That we would express glory to you and worship you as we prepare our hearts once again every day to sleep. And that we would find a peace as we sleep, understanding that there's no fear. The fear of the Lord brings sleep and sweet sleep at that. Lord, may we look to you to be our confidence in our sleep and capture every opportunity at night daily to rehearse and look for sin and confess and repent and call out your glory. How did you work? How did you show yourself glorious today? What did you teach me today? And hand it to you. Glory to you as we prepare to sleep. Father, we thank you for the gift of sleep. We thank you for your design of this world. It's glorious and it's so God-centered. Reminded often, you who keep us, you never sleep or slumber. And yet we humbly need it. In Jesus' name, amen.